Welcome to Australian Patriot Radio, podcasting on the internet near you. Our web address is www.australianpatriotradio.com. And I'm Harry Palmer.
We've been watching the Yellow Vest protests in France very closely, and one of the main spokesmen to come out of that has been a man called Roman Light. And I'm very pleased to say that today we have Roman Light with us in the studio. Hello, Roman. How are you?
I'm very good, Mike. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you. And thank you. Very pleased to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
No, thank you for coming. Let's get on with it because we've got quite a bit to talk about and very little time here. Whereabouts are you in France at the moment, Roman?
I'm in the southwest of France.
Southwest? Yep. Okay. What's the situation with the yellow vests there now?
So the situation is that the government now has decided to try to stop the movement because we're getting close to the holiday period and they want us to let the people move freely, and there's a lot of money that can be made through Christmas because that's the moment in the year when people are spending the more money. So they want us to let them go and consume and, like, yeah, spend as much money as they can. The senators starting to put some laws, trying to reduce right to protest, and they even starting now to intimidate us outside, like the police has received orders to intimidate us and taking names and pushing us to not wear yellow suits, even if it's not legal. The power is showing its true nature when things are getting serious.
Yeah, it sounds just like we've got down here in Australia. Apparently they passed a law the other day saying that we can't go out on the street to demonstrate either. But it won't stop us because they have no lawful authority. We certainly haven't given them any through referendums or voting. And the vote over here is a joke. We only have two parties that can become the government. But tell me a little bit about yourself, Roman. How did you get involved in all of this for a start?
It's funny because I was in France for holidays and then through in a series of circumstances, I had to stay a little bit longer because I was planning to go back in Australia in September.
Yes, and you're married to an Australian, aren't you?
Yes.
Well,
we were living in Sydney for years, and I was just coming here for holidays. And I I felt that there was there was something that has to be done in regards to the Yellow Vest movement, and I was starting to participate from day one. From day one, I was outside and wearing my yellow vest, and things moved forward pretty quickly. And after a little while, I decided to bring that message, to spread that message to the world, because it seems that there was a lot of misinformation on the media, our mainstream media. The mainstream media were spreading fake information. So I decided to share my message, and And my video has been seen by about a million people in a week, which forced me to create a lot of tools like a Facebook group and referendum initiated by the citizen group, which then inspired a lot of people. And it seems that the message that I'm spreading about referendum initiated by the citizen is making a lot of sense in a lot of people's minds. So now I'm officially involved in that space. I don't want to call myself a leader because I don't want to be a leader. I'm not a leader. I want to be a guide to inspire others to be leaders. Like, we all need to be our own leader. There shouldn't be any mainstream leaders. The whole movement, the RIC movement, is about self-empowerment. And yeah, like being strong in your body and your beings and yourself and inspire others to do so.
That's a scary concept for a lot of people, though. They're so used to being dictated to by the government that when you start telling them that you have the power, they go, oh, I don't know, I've got a family and, you know, wife, and I've got a job and I don't want to lose that. But the thing is, you're a slave. And, you know, if we're going to live as slaves, well, let's put the chains on. But a lot of people now in France and in Australia are waking up to the fact that these governments are subservient to the United Nations, to Agenda 21 and all the rest of it. But I want to ask you about RIC. Now, in Australia, we call it CIR, Citizens Initiated Referendums. And you talk about referendums initiated by the citizens. It's the same thing. So when our listeners see the vests out there with CIR or RIC, it means exactly the same thing. And CIR means putting the power back into the hands of the people to have a say in our government and to make sure that our government is accountable to us, not to a political party. The political parties are the problem, aren't they?
Right. Yeah. The political parties are the big problem because they are giving people the illusion that they are represented by the people who, like, will take their own interests at the highest of the national interest, which is not the case. It's just an illusion. They make you believe that they're listening to you. They make you believe that they care about you just to get that power. And when they get their power, they're going to perform their own agenda. And this has to stop.
Yeah. We see it all the time. You know, they make all these big promises at election time. And when they get in, poof, we don't exist. So we need to change the system. We need to change how this all works. And at the end of the day, what people have to understand is that we, the people, have the power. We give these people the power. And what have they done? They've abused it. So it's time to take back that power. Roman, can you explain to me how the Yellow Vest movement got started? I mean, did a whole bunch of people just suddenly put on a yellow vest and get out in the street, or was it a gradual thing? How did it start?
So it started, first of all, with, like, I believe, 15, 20 years of bad legislation that basically brought a very beautiful country with a lot of potential into, like, a country full of miserable and very sad people. Like, every time I was coming back in France, I was shocked to see how people were sad and depressed, and they didn't know how to stop that. Like, they were just lost into their own paradigm and believed that there was no way around, which is the definition of despair. One day, like, since Macron has been elected, the protest has increased because this guy did the magical force tour to put everyone in the society against him in a year and a half. In a year and a half, he removed so many advantages, so many privilege from people. Like, privilege, we call privilege like the right to work for $10 an hour, you know, like, that's a privilege. This guy removed all
rights.
Exactly. Like, this guy removes so much to so many people so quickly and has so much affairs with like political corruption and stuff. And yeah, like, people were so fed up that for a little while I was surprised that people was actually stopping protesting. Like, when he decided to increase, like, nearly doubling the price of the petrol in 6 months' time, like the price came from, I don't know, about $1.50 to close to $3 a liter. And we all know that it's 80% tax. So like they tried to blame the price of the petrol, but the truth is that the petrol price was actually probably in this period of time, one of the cheapest of the last two decades. But he doubled the price of the petrol and no one really said anything. And I was like, what's going on here? Like, what's happening? French people just lost their soul or what? Like, what's going on? And no, it was just like the anger was just like building and building and building and building. And one day someone basically said, look, on the 17th of November, we want everyone's out. We just want everyone's out. And everyone's went out. There was no... It wasn't planned. There was no political party behind. There was no syndicate. It was just people decided to go in the street. And to recognize each other, someone said, look, you can just wear a yellow suit so we can actually see who is a part of the protest and who is not. And that's how it all started. And that's the magic of it, because suddenly we were millions. I'm serious. We were millions outside. And we all look at each other saying, oh, wow, we are actually more connected than we even understood or believed. and we started to organize ourselves. We're starting to protest. So initially, the movement was just protesting. Because how I love to explain it, it's like, you know, you are, it's like when you're playing a game with like a poker game, for example, and for years, You're playing, but you're constantly losing and losing and losing and losing year after year. And there's a moment where when normally normal people, no matter how naive they can be or how much misinformed they can be, they normally freeze. They just stop and they're okay, and they just look around and look at all the different protagonist on the table and saying, what's going on here? Like, I'm playing and I'm playing and I'm losing and I'm losing and I'm losing my freedom, I'm losing my dignity, I'm losing my my health, I'm losing hope, I'm losing, and things can just worse and worse and worse year after year. So the first thing to do is to stop, is to freeze and to say, I don't want to play that game anymore. I don't know what to do, but I'm just not gonna play. And that was the yellow vest initially. And then the referendum issued by the citizen or citizen-initiated referendum, which is exactly the same, of course, started because like a lot of people in France, like let's say less than 1% of the population knew about the referendum issued by the citizen a month ago. And we used that opportunity to use that energy, that yellow vest energy, to spread that message to more people because before the yellow vest, everyone was so busy surviving that they didn't have a minute to even think about what could be the solution to change the system. And they were so convinced by the system itself that there was no option, that they just stayed in their paradigm and that was okay. And you were just surviving due to the incredible adaptation of the human body. Like the human body is that tremendous machine that has that power to adapt to any type of situation. Well, and exactly, and that's the strongest asset that we have and our bigger curse, because when things are getting bad and worse and worse and worse, we don't see it happening. We just like adapt and adapt and adapt, and we just think that, yeah, things could be better, but we don't know where to start. And we also tell ourselves that things could be much, much worse looking at people all across the world. So like we use that opportunity to spread the seer a message, and we were surprised to actually see that it was making sense to a lot of people. A lot of people were like, that's the thing. Like how did we not think about that earlier? Why I never heard about that before? And the thing is that people like me who spend a lot of time on internet learning a lot of things online, I came across that probably 8 years ago. So I knew what the seer was about quite a while ago, but for most of the people who never had a chance to like do anything else than working. And when you go on holiday, you don't want to think. You just want to like rejuvenate your body and you don't want to even process any information and before going back to work. So yeah, like most of the people never had a chance to get access to that information. And now that they are in a space where, as I said, you're freezing. When you're freezing, you're suddenly opening yourself to everything because you're like, there's something wrong. You just know that there's something wrong. You don't know why is it wrong. You don't know what is wrong. you just know that there's something wrong. And that's a perfect space to be open to new ideas, because there's nothing more dangerous than people who believe that they understand things, who believe that they know something. Because as soon as you believe that you know something, that you can easily be manipulated. You can easily be manipulated. We can show you things that makes you believe that you are in control. And that's very, very dangerous. And that's what the government is using a lot. They makes you believe that you're voting for your right. But no, you're voting for your masters.
Yes.
And when you're voting for your masters, you are never had a chance to really express yourself. So, months ago, there was probably less than 1% of the French population who knew about the RIC. And I was surprised a few days ago to go in the street and openly ask the question to all the people that I knew, who, like, some of them I knew them, some of them I never heard about them. And when I asked, okay, do everyone knows about what the RIC is? And we were probably more than 80% of the people on site who knew that. So I cannot say that this sample represent the whole nation, of course, but coming from less than 1% months ago to like what about 80% locally, it means that there's something obviously happening. There's something going on. There's something happening. There's a message that is going in people's consciousness. Now media are talking about it, national media, national newspapers. Even the prime minister spoke about a national debate. And we know that they're going to track. They're going to try to track us and to bring us into a no-go zone. So we are already aware of everything they're going to try to do because we already know the solution. And the solution is not only the RIC. The solution is the RIC in all matter.
Yes.
Okay. So the RIC in all matter actually mean that referendum initiated by the citizen. Is the constitutional right to trigger a national referendum from our citizens' perspective, from the citizens' initiative, in all matter, in regards to the law, in regards to the international treaty, in regards to international military intervention, in regards to constitution, in regards to everything, every aspect of the civilization. Everyone should be capable to trigger a referendum in health, in food, in education, in industry, in economy, in every matter.
Yeah. Now, we, as you know, I started up Advance Australia. And in fact, I've been doing this for 9 years, talking to people about CIR, citizens-initiated referendums. And we started out as a group called Restore Australia. But because of confusion with another group's name, I changed it to Advance Australia, and it's always been the same message. We have to have citizens-initiated referendums. Now, I sat down one day early on in the piece, and I said, how can we do this? Because if we have CIR, that's not enough. It's all very good having that, but what if a group of people take hold of CIR and take advantage of it? And so I came up with the plan, the Advance Australia 5-point plan, and the CIR would be coupled with electronic voting, and that would be secured by the blockchain, which is very, very secure and almost impossible to crack. So if you don't have that, you can't make it work properly, because with a downloadable voting app coupled with CIR, we can hold a referendum or a vote on anything anytime. We don't need big bang elections, and therefore we don't even need political parties. And as you know, you've probably looked at my website, haven't you, Roman?
To be honest with you, I haven't really had time, but I just look quickly on the big topics. I look at all the big topics because the website is covering a lot of topics, and I didn't have time to go deeply in each of them. But you're covering a lot.
Yeah, well, try and read the 5 points, because I've often said that, you know, if Australia can lead the way with this, other countries can follow suit as well. And if we don't have a plan, you know, it's all very well changing the system, but if we don't have a plan to go on to, then we're wasting our time. And this Advance Australia 5-point plan is what will take us forward. And
The first point is obviously something that is really important for me, because that's how we actually connected and that's how we met. Is through that idea that we need to have a decentralized blockchain-based voting platform to allow everyone to at least get a certification. So it means that people can still go and vote physically, but when they voted physically, they can also vote using that digital application. So therefore, right. we can confirm from two different sources that the physical documents will match the digital documents, and this way we will reduce by 99.99% chance the risk of forcing the vote or putting more votes in the box, or because both of them need to match and both of them are entirely separated from each other.
Yes.
So,
we'll worry about that later on. But the first thing to do is to, first of all, take the corrupt politicians to task and get them out of positions of power, because they have destroyed our countries. And this is a worldwide phenomenon. I mean, it's not just France and Australia. The only thing that I worry about here in Australia is that so many people are still so unaware. But I think, you know, the day is coming very soon. We have the ALP here. I think you know who that is, led by Bill Shorten. And Bill is now talking about it when he's elected prime minister. And so many people are saying, yes, he's going to be the next prime minister. They can't seem to learn their lesson. But if he does become prime minister, he will finish the destruction of this country. And that's when people will rise up.
Which is what Macron was elected for. Like a year before the election, Macron was entirely unknown. And suddenly, with the help of the Rothschild Bank and George Soros, he suddenly made 25,000 number one news page over a year, which is incredible. Like 25,000 is a huge number. How the hell this guy that just came from nowhere could be catapulted president in a year? And this upset a lot of people, including old politicians who were hoping one day to sit on the highest chair. So
I was surprised, actually, because I thought Marine Le Pen would be elected. The way she was going, she had a lot of popular support, and she was saying all the right things.
No. That's again misinformation from international media. Marine Le Pen. How can I describe her? Marine Le Pen is the red tissue that we are always agitating to scare people, because she's associated to extreme right, and she's associated to fascism and nationalism and stuff like that. So anyone that will end up against her would actually be guaranteed to be elected president. So she's not here to do anything for France. She's just a funnel. She's a funnel to bring people against her. That's her business. The Le Pen family's job for years, because they're here for like probably 40 years now, from the father to the daughter now. It's a dynasty, you know. They're here to be the wall against which everyone would basically go in the opposite direction. So
Sounds a little bit like Pauline Hanson here, doesn't it?
I don't know if she's, but it really looks similar. There's a pattern here, obviously. Like, and it happened many times in our history. Like the FN, how they call it, like the Front National, is the big enemy. No matter what they do, no matter what they say, they are the big enemy, and people will come together against the FN no matter what. But the truth is that Marine Le Pen never said that she wanted to leave the EU. Marine Le Pen is entirely corrupted by the Zionist and the group. She's saying what we guys, like some guys, wants to hear, but the truth is that she's not independent. Uh-huh. She's not working for the people. So, like, Macron, when he knew he was on the second tour, because, you know, there's a first election where we have to present as many people as we want, and then there's only two people who will then go to the next tour. When Macron passed the first tour, he celebrated straight away. He went outside. He said, yeah, I'm excited. He celebrated as if he already won. Because he knew that whoever is going to be against the FN will automatically win. So that this FN is a trick. It's a trap. Unfortunately, I know that this is the false rebellion. You know, that's how the media loves to present Le Pen, saying, oh, that's the false, that's a rebellion. It is not. It's entirely a part of the system.
So this is why it's so important for us to be communicating with each other across all these miles, because you know, we don't get the real news here in Australia, and I'm sure you don't get Australian news over there either.
So
we don't
not.
Know what's going on unless we talk to each other.
So
that's another good reason to thank you very much for coming onto the show today.
Yeah, pleasure.
I'm going to have to stop now because we're running out of time. But if you would, Roman, I'd really love to have you on again as things progress, and we can tell people what's happening over there and update them for what's happening here in Australia too. I believe Australia is about to start taking back the power into the hands of the people and to bring in CIR, but it might take a catalyst, and I have a funny feeling I know what that catalyst is, Bill Shorten.
Yeah, like, trust the people in power. They're going to do, like, they are psychopaths, and they're just going to do what psychopaths do. They're going to do stupid things, and the stupid things are going to awake more and more and more people until they will realize that they are. By the way, do you know that the Belgium forced their government to quit in only 2 weeks of strike around the immigration policy? It happened yesterday, like the prime minister quit, and in France it gives us a lot of hope because we are striking for 5 weeks, 6 weeks now, and like we know that the people in place will not quit because they are paid by the big banks, but we know who they are, we know the enemy, we are determined, and we also have the solution. The referendum initiated by the citizen is the solution. So we heard yesterday the government saying, yeah, no, we don't think the referendum initiated by citizens is a good idea for you guys. And this infuriates people. Like, seriously? Like, after 5 weeks of strike, you're still coming to us to tell us that you know better than us how we want to manage our country? So yeah. I don't know how things are going to happen this Saturday. We heard that the cops starting to strike yesterday. And the syndicate starting to negotiate with the government, and in just 1 hour they negotiated a bonus of $100 per cops to calm down the situation. But I think this is just going to make it everything worse because people are so done with corruption. They're so done with this mechanism where people are like, oh no, we're just going to give you another $100 and that's going to be fine. And like, people are so horrified with the way things are happening that I'm afraid like things could become really, really violent very, very quickly, because the people has been peaceful for a long time and they've been treated like trash. Like when you see videos of what the cops are doing to peaceful citizens, even the Minister of the Interior, which is the Minister of the Protection of the country, treated the yellow vest of Talibans, of terrorists. So when the government go into a space, when you're treating your own citizen terrorists, like, you better be careful, because the terrorists are going to come for you and they're going to treat you the way you need to be treated. So I don't know how the media are going to cover that. I don't know, because there's, I don't know, like something like 10,000 journalists who are starting to sign up a petition saying that they've been beaten, they've been intimidated, they've been. So it's, again, the freedom of speech, international laws, everything. And this is going to become a huge mess, a huge mess.
Well, we've discussed this here in Australia too, and we've worked out that, well, we've discussed that we really need to reach out to the police and explain to them what is going on and that they are on the wrong side. If they want to continue as police and doing a good job, they need to get on our side, because otherwise they become part of the enemy. And I'll give you a little bit of investment advice, Roman, before we go. Buy shares in Rope.
Yeah, we have guillotine here, you know, we have the guillotine.
It's much quicker. Oh yes, I'd love to see that back in action, mate. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to talking to you again. Thank you very much for coming on, and we'll talk again soon, eh?
Thanks very much, brother. Take care. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye now.
Well, that's it for me here today, podcasting on the internet near you from Australian Patriot Radio. And remember, if you play by the opponent's rules, you will lose. I'm Harry Palmer.